All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Daily Faceoff podcast comes courtesy of the Nation Network. Here's your host, Brock Segan, with Dylan D. Berthume and Michael Beebs Bondi.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to season 9, episode 37 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by Betway. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. Please play responsibly. Ontario only. Must be 19 years of age or older. I'm your host, Brock Segan, and with me, as always, we've got Dylan D. Berthium and Michael Beebs Bondi. D, how's it going, bud?
Can't complain, man. Somehow squeaked into the playoffs of the Big Money League last week, so that was great. I am really getting my shit caved in the first round, so there's that. But I've already dipped into the dark arts and trying to apply some dark magic and hopefully help swing things in my favor. I already messaged the guy and told him GG, trying for the reverse jinx there early on in the week, and we'll see if we can turn things around. But looking good in the other three leagues, got a bye in the one league. So hopefully we can at least take 4 of the 5 into the semifinals next week. But of course, all eyes are on that big money league and the reverse jinx. So we'll have to hope for the best.
Yeah, and unfortunately for you, I guess it was fortunate. It was so bizarre because we weren't really sure what the tiebreaker was in that league. And then Correct. We thought we figured it out. And I was in first all year long. I got a win on the last week of the season, thought I locked up first place. We thought you got eliminated. It turns out somehow with a win, I dropped from first to third. And instead of you getting eliminated, you got in. So technically it worked out because we avoided each other in the first round. But then we're both putting up a pretty stinky performance. For me personally, my team is way better than this guy, but he has so many players on like Buffalo and I think it's New Jersey that play on the off nights. So like, I don't even know if I have a chance. I just have to absolutely nail the streamers. And so far, it has not been going my way, but I do have a buy into my other two leagues. So I'm feeling good about that. Beebs, you still alive and well?
Yeah, we're kicking. We're breathing. We're just chilling, much like we are in most of my leagues. I've got 2 of 3 buys, so it's kind of weird. Always, you know, you have the full season and then you just gotta wait, and I totally overthink it and pick up the most random people during these weeks. But in the third week, I'm with you guys. I am getting my butt handed to me, but the good thing is it shows how many games left for the week. I got 44 left, he's got 39, so I'm kind of hoping that I could steal that there. But I'm also thinking I might steal some of D's tricks and throw a little good game at the guy and try to. I absolutely love that. Now I get why when we play in other sports, you start texting me those weeks. Okay. All right. Dark Magic D, I'm here for it. But no, I am doing great. And Brock, to make you feel better, I don't think you really have to worry about Buffalo hurting you tonight, because we're talking about shit getting kicked in. They were down 5-0 in the first period. It's now 5-2, and really no one has hurt you. So, so just to improve your hump day Wednesday here, figured I'd share that live update that we're all going to get tomorrow morning when they have the
episode. Yeah, actually, it's been kind of unfortunate for me, because I decided it'd be a great day to stream Jack Quinn, and you get minus points for minuses in that league, and he's currently sitting at a -2, and somehow while up 5-2, Tim Stützle is a -1 right now. So I'm rocking a full lineup of negatives tonight, which is not what you want in the first round of the playoffs. But let's get right into it. We got a lot more ahead. We can hopefully help ourselves win this week with some good streaming targets. Again, the schedule this week is an absolute abomination, and really unfortunate that it falls on the first week of the fantasy playoffs, because it really just hamstrings so many teams with the way things fall. It's one of the worst schedules ever. And, you know, really to top it all off is the fact that there is a 14-game slate on Thursday, which is also MLB opening day. I mean, what are we doing? Why was that at least the 14-game slate not on Wednesday? Yeah. And then the one-game or two-game slate on opening. I'm like, I saw that. Like, I was paying attention to that today. I'm like, okay, I was checking my fantasy baseball lineup. I'm like, wait a second. Opening day is Thursday. There's 14 hockey games tomorrow. Like, what on earth is even happening? But yeah, we're going to do our best. We talked about it a lot the last couple of weeks, how to navigate this week. Hopefully you set yourself up for success. If you haven't, or if you still obviously got some pickups to make here in the next couple of days, we're going to help you navigate a really shitty week in the NHL. So to remind you, there's 14 games on Thursday, so you're almost certainly going to have a full lineup there. You're not going to want to stream unless it's maybe a goalie, if your two goalies don't get the start or something like that. But then you look ahead to Friday, you got one game, Saturday, 15 games, full lineup again, and then Sunday, one game. So we're really just going to focus in on Friday and Sunday, talk about the two games that are going to happen on those 2 days, and give you the best guys to pick up, hopefully available in your league, and stream, and hopefully they'll do better than what Jack Quinn has given me so far this evening. Hopefully a big third period ahead for the Sabres. But speaking of the Buffalo Sabres, they are one of the two teams that play on Friday. They will be hosting the New Jersey Devils. And we talked about a lot of their players a week ago, and we'll bring them back up in case you weren't paying attention or didn't get a chance to scoop with them ahead of this week. A lot of their own percentages have gone up because they were like that one team that you could stream for a couple times this week. But if they are still out there, make sure you pick them up for Friday against the New Jersey Devils. We'll start with Dylan Cousins. He's center right wing eligible, 59% owned, followed by J.J. Paterka. We'll talk about Paterka here for a little bit. D, me and you were really pushing for him as like the number one streaming option coming into the week. Somebody that I've talked about a ton over the last year and a half. And with Jack Quinn coming back, they practiced on Tuesday and had Jack Quinn back with Cousins and Paterka. I'm like, okay, that's a line that's done really well together, but it was kind of unfortunate because Paterka went from Tage Thompson's line down to the second line. Then they come out for warm-ups tonight, and Paterka is still on the top line with Quinn and Tuck. And so far, despite them getting their absolute asses handed to them, in the third period right now, he has a goal and 5 shots on net. So doing very J.J. Paterka-like things. Heading into the weekend, if you had the decision between Cousins and Paterka, are you leaning Paterka still, D?
Yeah, I would. I just think the peripherals are too good. I think, you know, this is a guy who's one of my favorite breakouts heading into next season. He's performed so well in what's really been a limited role this year, almost 3 shots a game while playing less than 16 minutes a night. And we've really seen that take off, to your point, since getting that chance to skate with the big boys up on the top line, which is long overdue, in my opinion. So, I love him heading into next season. And of course, that means I love him rest of season right now. And I just think he's in such a better spot to produce in that lineup than Dylan Cousins. And the best thing is he's much more available as well. I'm sure at this point, you know, 32% owned for Paterka, that roster percentage really shot up over the last few days. It's up almost 20% in that time. And to your point, Brock, again, a big part of that is the fact that they are playing Wednesday, Friday, and rocking a couple of those late nights. So it's gone up, and I'm sure in a lot of, you know, savvier leagues, he's probably not available, but in your shallower formats, or if you've been feasting on the competition all year long, he's probably still out there if you didn't already grab him ahead of tonight's game. And to me, he would be the number one target on the Sabres right now.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I will say, though, I think that they're almost one in the same at this point in their last, actually in their last 25 and 27 games. Cousins has 19 points. Paterka has 15. Paterka gets you the goals. He has 10 in that amount of time, where Cousins only has 8. So if you need goals, I'd say go in the Paterka direction. If you need points and maybe just assists, go Cousins. But at the same time, it throw it in a bag. I think you're good with either one as long as you get one of them. So I totally agree with that. One thing that I do love from both, though, during that time, they're both shooting the lights out. Cousins has 73 shots in 27 games. Paterka 63 and 25. That's over three a game for almost three a game for each, which is just phenomenal. So you like to see that. That usually bodes well for fantasy. So yeah, if you can get your hands on these guys, go after them.
Yeah, Dylan Cousins has to be one of the players that I've been most disappointed with this
year.
Yeah. I think all three of us really expected him to continue his growth. You know, 31 goals, 37 assists a season ago. Really thought that this was a Sabres team that was ready to take that next step, at least from a fantasy perspective. You know, they had some reliable pieces in Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, Dylan Cousins, Paterka's kind of coming around, Rasmus Dahlin, and for the most part, you know, Cousins has been disappointing. Tage has been disappointing. He, you know, hopefully people bought low on Tage because we called this kind of second half resurgence. He's been on fire. So hopefully people are sitting on Tage right now, pretty happy in the postseason. But yeah, Cousins coming into this, you know, into tonight, 41 points in 69 games, really not the season we thought he was going to have. But yeah, those two are obviously the two most obvious candidates to be picking up off the waiver wire, but obviously the least readily available. Among the other names, Owen Power has actually been playing pretty well, does see plenty of ice time, does see PP2. If you need to just try to get a body in your lineup, Owen Power is certainly available. Jordan Greenway, probably not going to give you a whole lot when he's not playing in the top six, like he currently is on the third line, so probably not somebody that you're really looking to outside of banger leagues. Jack Quinn, it would probably be my favorite option. Obviously, I picked him up tonight. If Cousins and Paterka aren't available, Quinn is another guy that just absolutely loves to shoot the puck. Prior to getting hurt, he had 12 points in 17 games, including 37 shots on goal. I watched a little bit of the game before we started the show tonight, and he was on the second power play unit, and the power play expired, and he was out there in 5-on-5. And I swear to God, he just sat there and was just beaver tapping that stick. Like, he just wanted it so bad. I saw him slap a stick on the ice like four times in one shift. Like, he just wanted that puck. He wants to get pucks on net. He wants to get back in that goal column. So I've always been a fan of Jack Quinn's game, and I think that he's probably the next best option after Cousins and Paterka. One other name I just want to throw out there quickly before throwing it back to you guys is Zach Benson at 3% on playing alongside Cousins and Jack Quinn as well. Hasn't had the greatest of seasons, but he's still been pretty solid. Biebs, do you agree that after Cousins and Paterka, Jack Quinn's the guy?
Yeah, Jack Quinn's very exciting. I was quite surprised to see he was only 4% owned earlier today once they actually, at the moment that they announced that he was playing. I'm sure that's jumped up plenty since, but for a guy who started quite hot and, like you said, kind of just loves to shoot, that's very low. One thing that this helps out that we didn't really address is, as much as, you know, Dylan Cousins has let us down this year, I believe that part of the piece of that puzzle has been Jack Quinn. So when he lost, you know, this is a key winger for the guy. These are two guys that have kind of, you know, around the same age. They're both huge prospects. They were supposed to make the rise together. When Jack Quinn goes out for a majority of the year and he's, you know, a key piece with you, that can hurt a lot. So this is one thing that I think could help both him and maybe even JJ Paterka, just shoring up that top six. But yeah, Quinn, a guy who I think a lot of us kind of had as like a smaller breakout potential behind the Cousins, the Paterkas. But with that said, it's all still there. If he can prove he's healthy enough and he's back, I think he can make a great choice. Keep an eye on ice time. I'm sure they're going to, you know, not absolutely throw him to the wolves, But I think he's better than some of the other names you're dropping there. Jordan Greenway scares me a bit. D, I think you actually might have grabbed him in our one league I saw today. So I love that. I always love to see the slow or the smaller slate pickups. And then Zach Benson, I'd probably put him just a bit below Greenway because he just I don't see you getting much out of that. But like you said, you know, maybe sparks on that line. But yeah, I just wanted to say Quinn at 4% today or wherever he's at now, whether it's 7 or 8%, I imagine. Still should be a little bit more owned, for a keeper next year.
He decided it'd be a good idea to be on the ice for the empty net goal. So now he's a -3, just doing more damage to my lineup tonight. So I was a big Jack Quinn fan when the show started, but less and less so. Did you have anything to add on the Sabres quickly before we start talking about the New Jersey Devils?
No, I agree. And I just want to say I'm glad you gave Greenway some love in banger leagues. I got to admit, it was not a banger league in that I picked him up today, Beebs. It was
a pure
desperation play and just kind of betting on the time on ice and hoping maybe a puck would hit him and wind up in the back of the net. But his peripherals, in terms of grabbing someone off the wire in deeper leagues that reward that, especially hits, can make Greenway worthwhile on the weekend here or for Friday night at least. 23 shots in his last 11 games, which is not bad when we're talking about really, you know, bottom of the barrel scraping here, playing almost or 18 and a half minutes a night, like I said, but 34 hits over that stretch. So yeah, 3 hits a game is some pretty substantial numbers. So yeah, just wanted to reinforce what you said, Brock, that Greenway could provide some value in banger leagues for sure.
Yeah, that's the one part of his game that he certainly excels in and will provide some much needed value on these small one game slates. Okay, the New Jersey Devils are on the opposite side of the puck. They're a team that's, you know, a little bit more top heavy, a little bit less owned. Unfortunately, Timo Meier not available because he's like probably the hottest player in the league right now. Really turned it on in the second half following coach getting fired, but then also the Tyler Toffoli trade opening up some ice time has really helped. He's up to 86% owned, but boy, give some love to our boy Timo. We've been pretty hard on him this year. Nice to see him bounce back. But some of the readily available players on the New Jersey Devils, Eric Howla at 8% owned, does skate alongside Jack Hughes at 5v5, which is always a nice boost. Also on that line typically is Alex Holtz, who's just 1% owned. The Devils fans are always screaming for this kid to see more ice time. Hasn't done necessarily a ton with it. I think he's got about 3 goals in his last 7 or 8 games. Shot volume's not great. Dawson Mercer, 18% owned, and Andre Palat, 2% owned. So those guys are all pretty available. If you want to look at the defenseman, Luke Hughes, 68%, Simon Nemec, 4%. All these guys are pretty readily available, and you have to imagine that the Devils will be slight favorites in this game, but I still feel better about rostering the Buffalo Sabres guys than the guys that you can scoop up off the wire here from the Devils. There's just not a lot to pick through. You know, I do think the likes of Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes, Timo Meier are probably going to do some damage in this game. But the guys on the wire, I don't have a ton of faith in. D, is there anybody on the Devils that sticks out as somebody that you would try to scoop up over, let's say, JJ Paterka or Jack Quinn?
Not so Paterka, but I do think there's an argument for Holla over Quinn. I think Quinn is probably going to take some settling in and, you know, we'll see where the time on ice finishes tonight, but I don't think he's going to see a massive workload, and you can do worse than betting on Eric Holla skating next to Jack Hughes, getting around 20 minutes a night in Buffalo on Friday. Right. So I think just the odds of him probably, you know, getting even just a secondary apple off of Jack Hughes' efforts is probably pretty high. And I think you're just more likely to get raw production out of that than you are at Quinn at this point, given where he's at in that lineup and the amount of minutes that he's going to get. So yeah, Holla's just playing so much in all situations. And he's the only guy here whose numbers and role right now that it's hard not to scoff at. So I would say I would lean him over Quinn. Aside from that, I mean, I like Holtz. He seems to have a great shot. He scored 16 times this season in a very limited role, but yeah, he's just not getting that ice time that seems like he should. Mercer does see a decent amount of ice time, but he's further down the lineup, as he noted, and it's just going to be tough for him to do a lot of work in that kind of checking line that he's kind of settled into this season. So, but I do like Holla, and like I said, I would look to go his way after Paterka, assuming Paterka isn't available for Friday night's game.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. That Holla's ice time is hilarious because even before looking at him, I was like, oh, Eric Holla, he can't be eating that much. And then it's just like, boom, 20 minutes, boom, 1950, boom, 20 more. Yeah, I agree. I do think, like you said, Dawson Mercer, due to that ice time, deserves a shout out. Played 18:55 last game, 17:49 the game before. Granted, both those games, they're kind of just locking in the win. And yeah, so if that happens, he's in a more defensive role. But he has scored the most goals out of any of those guys below 20% on the Devils in the last month. He's got four. Other than that, you know, Andres Palat maybe will get you a scummy apple to go along with it if you're really, really, really deep. One thing, though, we didn't really mention, and sorry to jump the gun here, but I think that Jake Allen at 33% definitely deserves a look, especially after seeing Buffalo get smashed 5-3 tonight, or 6-3, maybe it's worse, 6-3. He did mention there was a open net goal, maybe 6-2, but it was bad. So I think that Allen, if you're in a panic and you need an extra start, definitely worth it for a win. Also keep an eye on Devin Levi out in Buffalo. He's another guy where he's a little bit more owned than that 33%. But they have mentioned that they want to get him some starts down the stretch here. So, you know, if you're
replaced Uka Pekka Luukkonen tonight,
and,
so
and actually stopped pucks, yeah, which was good.
Yeah, Uka Pekka Luukkonen did not have a good night. The one thing just about Jake Allen is, you know, obviously, it does seem like they could be interested in rotating starts there. Like Kaapo Kähkönen's also coming off a 36 save shutout in his last outing. Jake mm-hmm. Allen stopped 42 of 45 in a win over the Leafs. So. Both coming off of really strong performances, and yeah, I would be fine with
Kaapo's 5%. By the way,
5%. Yeah, Kaapo Kähkönen is way down there. I'm definitely going to be looking to pick up Kähkönen if he gets the start. We talked about it last week. I wouldn't be shocked if he outplays Jake Allen. But Allen is certainly fighting back, and boy, like
he's stealing games, you know, dude.
The way that the early part of the season went for the Devils, it's just like if they could just get league average goaltending, they'd be in the playoffs. And they just seem to wait too long to make that move. And talked about Markstrom forever, and it just never really panned out. And now they made, you know, two smaller moves, and it's looked really good so far. But it might just be a case of too little, too late. The game on Sunday is the Anaheim Ducks and the Vancouver Canucks. So the Anaheim Ducks are hilarious because, well, they've just been bad all year. And then they were hurt, very hurt. A lot of key players out of the lineup. And then they were atrociously bad. And then they got all these players back, and they're still awful. I think they had like 15 shots against Seattle on Tuesday night.
It's a bad Seattle team too.
There's a lot of names available for the Anaheim Ducks here. Mason McTavish, 30. Ryan Strome, 8. Alex Florence, 17. Leo Carlson, 6. Cam Fowler, 29. Trevor Zegras, 32. Like, I can go on and on, but they're going to be just absolute desperation dart throws. Because you're probably going to want to target the Vancouver Canucks side of things. If you haven't already, Casey DeSmith, if he gets a start, it's obviously going to be a great start. I would be on the lookout for Seelofs to get the nod and give DeSmith a break. I think if DeSmith starts tomorrow and Saturday, I think they play tomorrow and Saturday, do they not? Let me double check. Just tomorrow. So if he plays Thursday, I believe it'll be eight out of the nine last games that he's started. So they might look to give him a breather. They've obviously, you know, are at the top of the standings. So Seelofs might be somebody that's available on the wire that could have be massive favorites on Sunday and really help secure a fantasy hockey victory for you. So somebody to keep an eye on. It's no guarantee he's going to start. There's no back-to-back, but you have to be quick on the trigger. If you have a couple extra pickups on Sunday somehow, I would just make the move for him and hope that he gets to start it before you're too late. But obviously the Canucks are pretty highly owned. Guys like Connor Garland, we talked about a little bit last week, 16% owned. He'd probably be the most notable, the most interesting, playing on the top line with Elias Pettersson. Nils Höglander at 7% would probably be the second most interesting. He's also on that top line with Elias Pettersson. But Pia Suter has seen some time on the top power play unit. He's 1% owned. Yeah, but he has been there. You know, he's been in that top six at times. You know, we're just talking about one game here. What can you give us? Those would be the three guys. I'd be obviously most interested in Garland and Höglander, but and then obviously Seelofs if he gets the start. So we shall see. We did get word today that Thatcher Demko is quite injured. He went on LTIR. So they might need to get Seelofs some starts to just see kind of, you know, get, you know, keep him fresh. And if Demko's injury does linger into the postseason, they're going to have to rely on DeSmith and then potentially Seeloffs if all hell breaks loose. So definitely somebody they're going to want to get.
They wanted to get Seeloffs in. Like their coach came out and he said, you know, he's now that he's up, he's giving us his time. We want to get him in one of these games. You got to imagine it's Anaheim, right? Come on.
You have
to. I mean, no better last spot. Year. So, yeah.
Yeah. So he would be my number one pickup. Like, obviously, if you need skater points in categories leagues, then that's a different story. But Seeloffs is the guy that's going to go out there and probably lock up a win. D, you talked about Garland last week. Seeloffs is in the mix. Where do you land here with the Vancouver Canucks? And are you going to throw desperation at the Anaheim Ducks if needed?
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna come down to it. Yeah, I mean, it might come down to you have no other choice, right? It's hard to stack up the likes of the thin pickings of the Canucks and to the entire lineup of the Ducks. And I do think if Seeloffs gets the start that it, you know, it's probably a little bit more intriguing on the flip side of the coin. I still think he's more likely to get the win, but you have to feel better going up against him than Casey DeSmith, who's been pretty solid, especially in cushier matchups this season. So yeah, I think that's just one to watch from both sides of it. But yeah, I like Garland a lot. He's been really, really productive lately on that top line. His minutes have been solid, at least in terms of what we're looking for here and dumpster diving a little bit, but also, you know, I think it's a pretty close call between him and Hoglander. Just, I think if you're chasing goals, it's hard to go against Hoglander. He's finally starting to get a little bit more ice time and obviously skating with Pettersson at 5v5. And he's just done such a great job of converting on his chances. Obviously, you know, I'm not expecting him to continue to shoot around 21%, but I don't think you can scoff at 22 goals and under 12 minutes of ice time. So I think there's obviously some real shooting talent there, and I think he's worth taking the gamble on if you really are in desperate need of some help from goals on Sunday. But otherwise, I do think that Garland's just a little bit safer, and especially if you're chasing peripheral stats. That's at Hoglander, and Banger League's probably more likely to help you out there. So it's kind of a matter of what you're looking for between those two guys. But I would play the matchup for the most part, especially if DeSmith's in there. I mean, you just got to imagine you got about, you know, 4.5 goals to probably pick through on the Vancouver side. If we're looking at the implied odds, and on the flip side, you're probably looking at 1.5 to 2 from Vancouver. So even though those guys may look to be in just such better situations and they're going to be getting so much more ice time, you just can't really bet on there being that many goals to go around for the Ducks, regardless of really who's in net. Like I said, it gets a little bit more attractive as Seeloffs gets the start. But I do agree with you. If you're shooting for floor and you're looking for some help there, I think Garland and Hoglander are going to be better bets.
Yeah, that's where I kind of love the suggestion of Pai Suter. Like Brock said, if you're only going for one game, why not shoot for the guy on top power play? Super quick shout out though, someone who came back yesterday, who a lot of people might not quite be on yet, or just in general, they might not need him. But Trevor Zegras is only at 32%. Probably where he should be with his production this year. But someone that, if you're in a little bit of a shallower league, might be worth a peek. But with that said, I'm kind of with D, where if you're going to go with a team that's going to score a lot more goals, I'm going to go with Vancouver. And there's a couple guys that I would rather have ahead of him. Just a name, though, that I think should be on a lot of people's radar if he does start picking it up here late in the season. And he's just a little bit more attractive than some of those other names. If we're going below 20%, probably Alex Killorn out in Anaheim for me. He's shooting a lot, playing solid minutes. He's over 17 basically every game. He's reached 20 twice in his twice in the last six games, and hit over three shots three times in those six games. So someone, if you are looking for kind of chintzy category, chintzy things, Killorn's going to be on the ice. But yeah, no, the Vancouver boys are a lot more attractive. So I won't bark back up that tree.
But yeah,
you know, thanks Dan and I for giving us a few guys to choose from. So
yeah, one other name I'll throw out there, and something that's worth monitoring, and it could happen as soon as Thursday. But Dakota Joshua was back on the ice for practice on Wednesday, and he was actually skating in a regular jersey, which suggests he could be back Thursday. If not, you would assume Sunday. And he did skate on the top line with JT Miller and Brock Besser. So certainly a sexy spot. You've got Joshua 18% owned. You got Hoglander and Garland playing with Pettersson. You got Suter on the top power play unit. There's quite a few options to choose from the Vancouver side of things, and they're all quite low owned. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that gets you through round one and into round two. When we turn to round two, the schedule is so much better, and it's going to make for super, super interesting week of fantasy hockey. And as opposed to just streaming guys for one day and then dropping them and streaming guys for another day and dropping them, the schedule is much more balanced next week. Monday, 8 games. Tuesday, 8 games. Wednesday, 5 games. Thursday, 9 games. Friday, 6 games. Saturday, 11 games. Sunday, 9 games. So light nights don't really exist. I usually classify light nights as like less than 8 games. For the sake of this week, I classified it as 8 games just because less than 8 games, there's only 2 of those days. But usually with like an 8, even a 9 game slate, you probably have an empty roster spot. So really doesn't matter. You're probably going to be able to squeeze somebody into your lineup any day this week outside, or next week, excuse me, outside of maybe Saturday when there's 11 games. But the two best schedules, and they're the best by a mile, are the Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Rangers. And on those light nights, the Lightning have 2, the Rangers have 3. So they should be very easy to get into your lineup. The Rangers don't even play on that 11-game Saturday. So those would be the two teams that I would be honing in on. If you can't find anybody to your liking on those two teams, the next two easiest schedules are the Florida Panthers and St. Louis Blues. So the top three teams, man, like they're all very, very good, right? You've got the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll start there really quick. We're not going to break it all down and run through all of these names, but Anthony Duclair at 40% is the obvious target, right? He's probably not super readily available. We told you guys to pick him up a few weeks ago, so hopefully you got in on it there. That top line of Kucherov, Point, and Duclair has been absolutely unbelievable. Some of their other guys not really producing at a very high clip, but with an easy schedule next week, you never know. Nick Paul, top power play unit at 13% owned. Anthony Cirelli at 6% owned. Probably as deep as I would go on that team. I'll come to you guys here in a second. I just want to roll through some names from the New York Rangers as well. Jack Roslovich is the one that sticks out immediately. Obviously still on that top power play unit, or sorry, top 5v5 line with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad. He's still only 6% owned. Hasn't necessarily done a ton, but hasn't necessarily been awful either. Alexi Lafreniere, who Deeps talked about last week, would definitely be up there. Was one of my favorite pickups. He had 2 goals the other night against the Flyers. We talked about how dominant that line's been at 5v5, and he is 40% owned, so probably not available for you. But if he is, Lafreniere would definitely be one of the top pickups next week. And then for the Florida Panthers, the way that they're kind of rolling their lines right now, with Barkov playing alongside Evan Rodriguez at 22% owned and Vladimir Tarasenko at 51% owned at 5v5, those two guys would obviously make a lot of sense. I still love Sam Bennett at 32% owned, playing with Tkachuk and Carter Verhaeghe. And then right now, with Sam Reinhart not playing with Barkov, that means he's with Anton Lundell, who's at 3% owned. So lots of options from all three of those teams. Let's just focus on those three because they have by far the easiest schedule. Dee, we'll start with you. Give me your top three names on that list of players.
I think you highlighted pretty much everyone that I would want to talk to on those top three teams. I like Paul in Tampa. You touched on the guys the Rangers have been talking on the last few weeks. And Florida, I think your choices are pretty obvious in terms of what you're going to find on the wire. I am going to go just a little bit deeper, if that's all right. And I think if the way that I like to look at it and attack my streams across the course of a week, especially when there's so many late nights like this, is really break it up into two halves, right? Because I mean, pretty much every single format, you're going to have at least multiple acquisitions to work with. I mean, typically the least that I tend to see in terms of weekly matchup acquisition limit is 4. So the way I'm looking at it, I mean, the Islanders are only a little bit further down than where you were talking about. But if you look at their first 3 matchups of the week, they're in Philadelphia on Monday, at home to the Blackhawks on Tuesday, and then in Columbus on Thursday. So I think that's a great way to get your week started. Even on those 8-game slates, like you said, they might not be considered a light night. You're almost certainly going to be able to squeeze some games in your lineup, which is really what we're talking about here. And your boy Kyle Palmieri, Brock, and playing on that first line right now. And shot volume's been great, top power play unit as well. And he just hasn't slowed down at all lately. So I think he is probably my top target for early week next week. He's just 15% owned. I'd rather have him than Anders Lee right now. He's just, the usage is just that much better being on that top line. The nice thing about Anders Lee, who is more heavily owned at 27%. They did announce he's not going to face any extra discipline for his knee-on-knee hit the other night, which is nice. So he'll be available all of next week. So I'd look to go Palmieri first and then Anders Lee. Hopefully one of them is available in your league heading into next week, because it gets a little bit tricky if you do have to go any deeper than that on the Islanders. But that's the ideal way to get your week started for me. And then you can really look to pivot to the Rangers after you get three games out of the Islanders in your first four nights of the week. You can look to pivot to the Rangers and get that Friday, Sunday schedule in Detroit and at home to the Canadiens and touch on some of those names that Brock hit. If they're not there, I think Carolina later in the week is a great target as well, because they're hosting the Capitals on Friday and the Blue Jackets on Sunday, which I'm sure we'll get into more next on next week's show. So I won't go too deep there, but they do have a few options that are worth going after. And so, yeah, that's kind of the roadmap that I'm going to be looking to attack next week and really get after the Islanders. Hopefully have some matchups locked up on Sunday even, so you can maybe use some matchup acquisitions that you have left for this week to kind of set yourself up nicely for the next week. Because I do think Kyle Palmieri in particular could be a bit of a hidden ticket to the finals for a lot of people to get through the semifinal matchups next week.
Yeah, Kyle Palmieri, and then turning that into Alexi Lafreniere for the weekend, and even Jack Roslovich would certainly be sexy. I just want to jump in here quickly, Biebs, because it's my guy Kyle Palmieri, right? Like, we're talking about this guy as much as possible. We've got him on the show actually a lot this year, which I absolutely love. 8 goals and 38 shots in his last 13 games. You just absolutely love to see it.
Oh, I was about – you literally just owned me there, because that's what I was coming in with. And I was going to say it's absolutely absolutely insane that this guy's still only 15% owned with that kind of production. Shooting the lights out. Brock's boy has been a stud. And there was a night a couple weeks ago there where he had 4 points, which included a hat trick. So the fact that people didn't just insanely grab him and then keep him on their team because of that kind of blows my mind. But I agree with D here. If we are bringing in that 4 sleeper team, then I think Palmieri does, you know, stand out as the guy that I'd be going after. After that, though, if we had to pick 3 from the first 3 teams, Nick Paul, as you mentioned, production's been down lately. But realistically for Nick Paul, it hasn't. In his last 15 games, he has 5 goals, 9 assists. That's not bad. And as you mentioned, top power play. That's all I care about. All I care about is he's touching that top power play. Also, you know, as D says, he goes out there and he bangs. This is a guy who had 5 hits the other night, 3 the night before that. 5 hits actually on 2 of 3 nights. So that's what you like to see if you're looking for random hit contributors. He's been shooting a lot more lately, hasn't had less than 2 shots in any of his last 5 games. So Nick Paul is my standout kind of picking from the shit, I guess we'll call it, of those first 3 teams. Because like you said, there's really not much. But if we're going to go after guys in position, I obviously love the Lafreniere, the higher owned guys, but I'm looking at under 20%. Or under, you know, lesser owned guys here. So I got to give Jack Roslovich a shout out while he's in that spot. The second that spot goes away, which I'm kind of scared is going to happen soon. I mean, there's no rumblings of it, but it's just the guy's not producing. He's only getting 13 minutes of ice a night. Second he gets away from that, I am worried. But for now, I'll take a flyer. But he actually comes in third. My second place is Sam Bennett, however you want to go there, if we're feeling crazy today. But
definitely,
like you said, he's just... No, I know. Bennett just sounded nice for a roll off the tongue tonight, but definitely Bennett. You know, he eats ice. He's going to get at least 16, 17 minutes plus a night. You mentioned his line mates. He loves to shoot. So nights when he loves to shoot, there's always a chance for production. So yeah, so we will go Paul, Bennett, Roslovich. But wow, was that tough with Kyle Palmieri coming in deep from the fourth slot and just putting himself in first place there. So yeah, so I love what D said. I'd take that strategy. But yeah, the pickings are going to be tough next week. That's for sure. Not tough, but just, you know,
tough,
easy, tough. Yeah. I was going to say, but literally tough. But I don't know. Is there a few other teams that are worth looking at or I definitely
not really. I mean, obviously I'll release the article at the start of the week. I'll probably tweet it out as well, before Monday, so people can take a look and start making their pickups. But yeah,
yeah, Seattle, maybe they got a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule.
They only have 3 games. Like, if you, that's, I mean, you could, and then obviously drop them for somebody on Sunday. But in San Jose, in LA, and in Anaheim, 2 of those games are obviously super juicy. But let's quickly turn away from fantasy and go into the Betway bets of the day before we send you on your way. And yeah, hopefully lock up a spot in the semifinals. So, without further ado, let's get to the Betway bets of the day. So for my Betway bet of the day, I'm just going to focus on some futures here. I do not feel like combing through the odds of 14 games on Thursday. So my Betway bet of the day, I'm looking at the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup plus 800, tied for the third longest odds in the league at the moment. It's basically a toss-up for me between the Panthers and the Hurricanes. I think those are pretty clearly the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think that the pathway to get to the Stanley Cup Finals is just much easier through the Eastern Conference than it is the Western Conference. We saw the trade deadline, all of those teams seemingly loading up. Obviously, you got to deal with the likes of Connor McDavid with the Edmonton Oilers or Nathan MacKinnon with the Avalanche. Obviously, the Dallas Stars look pretty good. You have the Vancouver Canucks, who nobody seems to be talking about. The Vegas Golden Knights are going to get 11 players off of LTIR and just suddenly have a salary cap of $200 million. So there's a lot of tough teams in the Western Conference, where in the East, it does seem a little bit simpler. And the Panthers have just been one of the most complete teams throughout the entirety of the season. The goaltending's been really strong. If it's not Bobrovsky, Anthony Stolarz has probably been the best backup in the entire NHL this year. So really, really like the Florida Panthers. But if you're a little bit more of a fan of the Carolina Hurricanes, they have the exact same odds. I'm fine with either. They've looked tremendous with the addition of Jake Guentzel. Kuznetsov's been solid as well. Their goaltending has really figured it out as well. Frederick Anderson's looked tremendous. So I like both those teams coming out of the – I mean, one of those two teams coming out of the Eastern Conference. And at plus 800, I'll lean Florida, but I like the Hurricanes as well. And that's going to do it for the Betway Bet of the Day. And that is going to do it for Season 9, Episode 37 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Brock Segan. With me, as always, Michael Biasponte, Dylan D. Berthium. Good luck. Hopefully you punch your ticket to next week. We'll see you guys back here then. Cheers.
See you there, and we'll bring you right to the finals.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.